Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck?
It's here.
With your hosts.
Love these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The Bears don't have the readiness to go all in a championship or bust year.
And Mark Grody.
There's a certain amount of urgency to this season for the Bears. And I think the biggest urgency is make sure you have a quarterback in Caleb Williams.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello and welcome into the Take the North podcast as you have never seen it before. This is the Raheemy Harris and Grody takeover of the Take the North podcast with Dan Wiederer busy working the locker rooms in Landover, Maryland as we record this podcast. We are all back in downtown Chicago already having done a show, and we all just watched a Bears win, a win over the Commanders, 25-24, and everything that goes with a win relative to what happened last year. The Bears win over the Commanders. Jake Moody, 38-yard game-winning field goal. That's right, Jake Moody, who the players are just now getting to know. Jake Moody, who slid in for the injured Cairo Santos, makes four field goals and the game winner. And I should point out too a couple of the preceding things that occurred leading up to it. Jaden Daniels had turned it over late in the fourth quarter. The Bears get the ball on their own 44 with just over 3 minutes left. I should give Nashon Wright credit because he is the one that did recover the fumble by Jaden Daniels. The Bears take it down the field. They get the win. Even with all sorts of other things that went down in the game, Layla, it was worth a slow golf clap, as I think that's what I heard you doing. And it sounded right for some reason. And I don't even know why, Layla. I don't know why. Please tell us more.
Oh, I know why. Because I set this whole thing up. I was like, I told you at Gallagher Way last week, if the Bears win like they did the last game, I'm okay with it because it means they're winning games. They're actually winning the ball game. And that is exactly what happened. Same score and everything, and it was ugly. The Bears had some atrocious penalties that negated third and long, for example. How many Commanders? At one point, it was four penalties that extended Commanders' drives.
Yeah.
I didn't have as much of an issue with the Theo Benedett penalty because I started to see him get farther and farther back from the line of scrimmage. But there were definitely some penalties called on the Bears in this game and a couple of no calls that you could have argued too. But all of that said, we're talking about a Bears win. And I didn't think that was going to happen in Washington. You didn't think it was going to happen. Marshall Harris thought it was going to happen. But the bottom line is, they're winning games like this now. And we can't say that for last year. We can't say it for the year before. And we sure as hell can't say it for the year before that. So when you consider that this team has had only five wins the past two seasons, and again, they do this, again, they've already got three wins now. Mm-hmm. You've got to like the position they've put themselves in. They're above 500. I'm going to repeat that. The Bears are above 500.
Another way to say that is that the Bears have won three straight games after an atrocious start to their season. And Layla, I will say this. I'll get to you in a second here, Marshall. But Layla, I will say this because you're right. I poo-pooed the Vegas win because there were things that were extremely concerning, like giving up 240 yards on the ground and all of the bad things. I don't really want to rehash all of it, but that was not sustained. This was different. This was different. Yeah, it was ugly. You're right. Nine penalties for 84 yards. There was a horrible little patch in this game when Luke McCaffrey catches that wide-open touchdown to make it 17-16. The blocked kick by Jake Moody. Like, that felt horrible. And then the Zach Ertz, of course, Zach Ertz gets a touchdown to put Washington up 24-16. And it seemed like you were going to lose the game and blow the game, and all those penalties might be costing you, but it didn't. And when I look at what DeAndre Swift did in this game, 14 carries for 108 yards. Oh, and that 55-yard touchdown run as well. Okay, that is stuff that I can call legit and that you can build on, and it's real. So this did feel like I'm way more accepting of winning this way. Like, if the Bears want to win that way, I don't necessarily want them to do that, but it's more acceptable than the win over Vegas.
I mean, to me, they're similar because, like we said, there were issues with both. There were execution issues with both. There were penalty issues with both. But the bottom line is they won, and both those games are on the road. What does that say to you? So you put that together and you get something really good. And that's what we're talking about. The fact that they're winning these games, they 100% would have lost that game last year. They'd have lost the game against the Raiders too last year. I will take this all day. I will take it. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But are they winning ball games? Yes.
Marshall, I'm sorry I've kept you waiting so long, because you are the one of us. You were the one who said on the air and during the breaks, just you kept on saying, guys, the Bears are going to win. Credit where credit is due. What say you, Mars Hall?
What we've been searching for coming out of the bye is an understanding of what was going to change. What was going to be different? Would this Bears team finally start establishing some type of identity, something they can hang their hat on? Well, I think, number one, we found that thing, at least in the early going. They've played five games. They've created 12 turnovers.
There you go.
12 takeaways.
Bingo.
2.4 takeaways a game. That leads the NFL, that category right there. No one's had more takeaways per game than the Bears. Three more tonight. And it's not just that they took away the ball three times. You can nitpick and say, well, they didn't create any touchdowns off those takeaways. It was just field goals. But it was two field goals to establish an early lead. It was a field goal at the end of the game to win the game. And ultimately, they did not turn the ball over. At plus +8 on the season in turnover margin, they are tied with the Jacksonville Jaguars now for the best turnover margin in the NFL. They are an opportunistic team. There are plenty of things you can be upset about when you look at this defense and say, hey, they need to work on this, they need to work on that. But we were told before the season, we were told during training camp, we were told early in the season, this will be a work in progress. We were told after they gave up 50 plus points to the Detroit Lions, this will be a work in progress. But it's a lot better to have a work in progress that results and yields wins than not wins. And right now, as you pointed out, Mark Grody, they've won three games in a row. The future is looking very bright right now because we know they have not played their best and most flawless football of the season. But yet here they are, 3-2, feeling good. Oh, and by the way, they figured out how to run the football, and that could change everything.
How heartening was that to see, Layla, the running game open up? They used a bunch of guys. I mean, we saw everybody seem to get in on the party, which has been the desperate part, or desperate and creative. There's a very fine line that we're dealing with, but it was just good to see the offensive line open up some real holes for DeAndre Swift and see DeAndre Swift burst through them. Like, he looked like a top-notch running back tonight.
Well, I think it also had to do with scheme. There were a couple of runs that I did not like in this game. They kept trying to test Kyle Monange up the middle, and that's really bold when you consider his height at 5'8", and how the Bears hadn't gotten a lot of forward progress up the middle, you know, guard, center, guard, as we've talked about when it comes to the run game. That's where the holes have not happened. You know, Drew Dahlman is an outside zone specialist, and I feel like we saw that today, especially also the EPA for running yards per play really did favor the right side, and that was even prior to the game against the Raiders. So I'm not sure why they didn't just go ahead and establish that during the game to begin with, but I'm glad they got to it. There were a couple, but I do think that they were going to try to establish that running game with everybody come hell or high water. And there were definitely some high water moments when they get backed up all the way to what their half yard line. Caleb Williams is out of the shotgun in the end zone. That's dangerous as a whole. And, you know, they try to limit his shotgun plays to begin with. And then you're running Manunga just up the middle because you think that's going to work. There was nothing in that game that said you were going to get those yards. So by the grace of everything, they're able to withstand that drive and withstand the field position they lost thanks to the turnover and the takeaway and get the ball back. But I thought for sure they were done after that. And then the Bears defense once again proves us wrong. The fact that they couldn't get off the field after forcing a 3rd-and-13 so late in the fourth quarter, and they're still able to come up with the key takeaway to somehow seal the game. It's just incredible.
It really was. And I thought it was very interesting. I know you guys were following along, watching the press conferences, hearing from Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And I know that they were swinging through the locker rooms too. So we were able to kind of watch that and monitor that. I thought it was very interesting that Ben Johnson said that this is the cleanest he's seen the offensive line operation this year. Is it irony? I guess it kind of is, that when you put in a guy who is making his first start at left tackle, Theo Benedet, who spent a year on the practice squad last year, was being called by Troy Aikman to say, hey, look at this hole. He wasn't perfect. He was pushed on the lap of the quarterback a couple of times. He also had an illegal formation. I guess it was an illegal formation on the touchdown pass to Roma Dunze that ended up getting called back. Like, that kind of sucked. But I got to tell you, Marshall, it's kind of nice if this project, which I said started out as a prop, I failed to get that one correct. If this project is starting to bear fruit, it's pretty amazing.
Well, the thing that jumps out to me when you look at the final stats, you look at every game that they played up until this point, and every time they play a game, they get outrushed by their opponent until tonight. Not only did they hold the Commanders to 4 yards per carry, which is lower than any team that they had faced this season. Remember, they're coming off a game against the Raiders in which they gave up 240 yards, an average of 7.7 yards per carry before the bye. So they took the 15 days and they worked on something. They outrushed the Commanders 145 to 124. They held Bill Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt to just 61 yards on 17 carries. Jayden Daniels, now he's a problem all into himself, because when he gets loose, what are you going to do? Jayden Daniels literally outran whoever he wanted. The only reason he stopped running is because he figured he might want to go out of bounds before he actually got hit on 15-yard and 10-yard runs. But to see the offense not only stop the run, but also run the football, I was like, who is this team I'm watching? But that goes back to the bye and understanding, hey, they're going to focus on stopping the run and being able to run the ball. And we can actually look at it, not just the eye test, but when the final stats come out and say, they actually did what they said they were going to do. And that's a large part of why they were able to win this ball game, even though it wasn't pretty at all times.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we have some news here. This is from Herb Howard. And this is at the time of recording, it's in the 11 o'clock hour. Bears wide receiver DJ Moore left the stadium in an ambulance following the concussion, or the conclusion of the game. He was accompanied by wide receiver coach Antoine Randall L.
Okay.
Ambulance.
Okay. Now,
I'm wondering if something happened to his lower back. Do you remember when he went into the medical tent and then he came back out?
Oh yeah, no, I remember him getting injured.
He played the entire game. I hate to be the buzzkill here, but that seems like major news we're going to have to track tomorrow for sure.
No doubt. I mean, I think Marshall. There was a play where he and you're, Layla. I can't confirm that at this moment. You're saying he did not miss a snap in the game.
I don't know that he missed. Okay. I don't know that he didn't miss a snap.
I mean for the because of being hurt. I'm saying
he played throughout the game. There was one point where he was holding on to his lower back.
He was hurting.
He left during an offensive drive, and then I understand he went into the medical tent. Now, we're getting all this information from people there on Twitter. The broadcast, I don't think, addressed that.
I know at one point he did come back in the game after all that happened where he was hurt and tweaked, and we talked about it in our group chat. But he came back into the game and was back on the field on plays.
He was, and he was a key part of the blocking for DeAndre Swift. He sold out his body today. Yeah. And I'm not just saying that because of what we saw from our friend Herb Howard's post. I'm saying that because he was obviously a huge part of the blocking scheme. Like, for everybody who calls out DJ Moore and his body language and thinks he's not a team player, I already had it in my notes that today's game was a good example of how that's not exactly the case.
Sorry, guys. I just a little bit more on DJ Moore as we kind of patch this together. The three of us here on Take the North, Raheem Harrison, Grody Takeover. If you're like, what is this?
DTN.
This from Bigsy, Brad Biggs, wide receiver DJ Moore will be staying overnight in the DC area for precautionary medical attention, the team announced. So precautionary is the key word that gives me hope that it's not something devastating, but something that needed to be monitored. So we shall see. He just looking at some of the receiver numbers. DeAndre Swift, two catches for 67 yards. How about Luther Burden, man? How about that one play to Luther Burden? It didn't mean a thing except for a field goal. That was the whole thing was like the Bears were going downhill at that point, but a 37-yard play to Luther Burden on that deep crosser, and then all hell broke loose for about three more series. But it was like, oh, yeah, Luther Burden, there you are.
Are you kidding? I thought that was awesome. He juked two different people.
Yeah,
he had two juke moves. That was some real athlete stuff. And you know I don't want to say the word stuff, but that's exactly what that was. That is a watch me adjust to the ball that Caleb Williams threw because it was not perfect. Watch me show my skills to get the ball. And then once I do, you really saw his body there, the mismatch, and how he was able to overpower his defender. He's like, I'm going to try this once. I'm going to go again. Go.
Yeah.
And that's when he was able to get, 10 extra yards after that?
Uh-huh.
They thought he had him. And that was some flex on him stuff right there. I thought that was one of the most fun parts of the game. And then, you know what happens is the other team's going to try to do it. So then they tried to do it. So then you had everybody trying juke moves. And I was like, perfect. Perfect. This is the kind of stuff you want to do. Like, that was a flex on him, man. I loved that so much.
It's the flash and splash for me because we know what we were told Luther Burden III was supposed to be. We know he missed the time early in camp. But I got to tell y'all, every time I see that man get his hands on the ball, he's doing things that make you realize, oh, okay, this kind of makes sense. And I know we're just getting a small sample size, if you will, of what he's capable of. But it makes you think that by the end of the season, he's going to be an integral part of this offense, because every time he touches it, it seems like the possibility of something highly explosive is possible. He's highly flammable. That's what I'll say about that man.
I still think like the special teams, that's a key part of his role, and you're going to have to block more, and you're going to have to use that size to your advantage. You know, the body type, he's going to have to use that to help a little bit more. But I think when you're talking about a rookie, that's going to come. You know, that was not a part of his job probably initially, and here he is, you know, being expected to do that. So that's something that I want to see improve. But the pure receiver stuff, sick.
Sick. How about Roshan getting a carry in the backfield? There you are, Roshan.
I was like, is that a Roshan Johnson sighting? And they said his name because, you know, you can like tell who it is even before you see the numbers. And I was like, what?
It's all it was an all points bulletin for the running game. It was like, let's let everybody loose. I'm just looking at it. Swift carried it. Manungai, 5 carries for 19 yards. DJ Moore, 2 carries for 10 yards. Roshan Johnson, 1 carry for 6 yards. Yay. Olamide Zaccheaus, 1 catch for 4 yards. Caleb Williams, 4 attempts for minus 2. How about Zaccheaus, by the way, guys? Just stream of consciousness. When the Bears were backed up and they had that bad penalty on a Cole Kmet first down, and he drops the ball, and they showed it like Troy Aikman was on it. He might have scored. It might have been an 80-yard touchdown scamper.
I think he realized that, and that's part of the problem. He was kind of looking ahead, and he didn't pull it in. And then I was almost as frustrated the next play because he catches it, but it's short of the first down. But I was like, all right, well, at least he can still catch.
First of all, he was running before he caught the ball. Like, he already had the play figured out. Number one, catch the ball, especially in those conditions. At that point, it was raining already.
Nor'easter.
And you'd better – please stop being excited about the nor'easter. you don't want your house to flood, okay?
I just have really deep respect and admiration for the force that is a nor'easter. Don't get it twisted, Layla.
I hope you appreciated it more after we explained it to you earlier on the show today.
I did, and I appreciate it. I learned a lot from both of you guys. I just want you guys to know that.
I learned a lot from you.
Yeah.
All of that said, I feel like they were going to run the ball to whoever they possibly could. After what we saw to Theo Benedict, where I do feel like he was, I wouldn't say cutting some corners, but I don't know what you call it when you're that far back from the line of scrimmage and he's just waiting for people to come to him, because it's a very dangerous game you're playing. Like, at some point, there's going to be space in between you for the defender to just run around you and then sack the quarterback. So I'm almost kind of glad that that was called, even though it negated the Rome touchdown. I'm not happy about that. But it's like, it just got to be egregious. Did you guys notice that? He kept like creeping back. But I say all of that to say, if that was going on, and tactically he's your best dude at left tackle, and that's why the run game wasn't working properly, what the hell was going on?
I have no answer.
I was giving it to Mars.
No, because the reason I have no answer is, that is my question. What was going on? And I think sometimes it just takes time to not only get your cohesion from your offensive line. And let's be honest, they played better tonight. They looked better as a unit tonight. And maybe Theo Benedict being out there gave people a sense of, okay, we're done shuffling things around. This is who we're going with for the future.
Yeah.
And I'm good with that. And I got to say, they just looked better. Like, the holes were bigger. The pass protection held up. Caleb Williams was getting sacked because Caleb Williams was just holding on to the ball too long. But 3 sacks, I can live with what happened with Caleb Williams in the offense tonight.
Yeah.
Who else got 3 sacks? The defense.
Ooh, yeah, they did. Another slow clap.
Don't forget about the team sack. Jervon Dexter with a second half.
Oh, yeah, the team sack.
There was one team sack. Then there was Javon's sack and a half. And then was it Dominique Robinson who had
the
Who's also in pass coverage?
Every once in a while, Dominique Robinson will get a sack. That is what he does. My God, I'm so glad that we have a 3-hour, 10, 11, 12, a 4-hour show.
I'm mad that you had to do that just now.
I know.
Our show is 4 hours long.
I don't know why in my head it's 3. You know why? Because it goes so fast, because I'm with you guys. That's what it is. But I'm so glad we do have a 4-hour show to talk more Bears, because we are just scratching the surface. A couple more things before we get out of here. I loved Caleb Williams at the podium when he was talking about, apparently there's a new motto or mantra going on out there, and he didn't want to say the word. Caleb was hilarious. It's we love this, and then he said it starts with S and ends in T. We could say it on the podcast. It's we love this shit. We love the work. We love the grind. We love being out on fields 3 and 4. We love this shit. It's okay, Layla. It's a podcast. We don't swear a lot, but it's okay. It's all right. It's okay.
I say hell and damn a lot, but I can't go that far.
It's weird.
Say we love this feces. Is that?
Oh man,
no, not the same.
Are you gonna drop your favorite word here on us here in a second too?
I'm
I don't know.
You know, Layla, if this precludes you from being on with us, I'll have Studzinski bleep it out. If you need that done, don't worry.
I know, it's a video, you know, like I didn't say it.
Yeah, no, you didn't. No, it's okay.
Because it's like,
welcome to the world. Podcast,
you know, setting, and I'm sitting here on the floor in front of my couch.
And, yes, you are.
And you're like, and you're cussing, and we just had the guy who swore earlier today on our show.
Oh my God, he dropped a harsh one. See, I won't say that right now. There are, we have Dan and I, but we usually keep it pretty tame. But that was in context. That we love this bleep, okay?
Yeah, we love this ish. I just say ish instead of that word. Yeah.
I do too. I'm laughing because Studs in our text chat just now said, swearing, yes, all caps, drop the F off. I know Studs is when it comes to the Bears win today. That I know.
Oh, yeah, he's a happy guy. He's running the post game. He's getting us set up. He's just doing all the Bears post games, and he's
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland, you know, the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy. Guys, one of the cool things we do when the Bears win is give out game balls. Layla, would you like to go first? Marshall, I'll let you go second, then I will go third.
I want to give it to DeAndre Swift, but I think it's got to go to Jake Moody.
Okay. Wow.
Like that is some pressure. And frankly, that 48-yarder, that dude kicked lower than I do. And I'm 5'3" and over 40. So I'm not sure how he was able to overcome that. But to do that in your first game active with the team, where I'm still not quite sure about Cairo Santos's quad strain, to be able to do that in those conditions at Washington, came through. It looks like a 38-yard field goal, and it says it's a 38-yarder, but I don't know, man. If I were out there, that thing would look like it was 100 yards away. So good on Jake Moody. They needed him to win the game for them, and lo and behold, he did. So I have to say, given the circumstances, he's the guy.
Okay. Marshall, what do you think? That's a good entry. Jake Moody for Layla. That's her game ball. What you got, Mars Hall?
Moody certainly was under consideration for me, as was DeAndre Swift. But I got to go with somebody on the game ball that might shock you a little bit. I'm going with the only guy on this team that was able to force the one thing that happened that only happened once, which was a Washington punt. I'm going with Montez Sweat. I know Montez Sweat did not have a sack, but Montez Sweat had back-to-back plays when it looked like Washington could not be stopped by any way except for a little turnover. Because he had a deflection and he had a quarterback pressure, and that forced Washington to punt the ball. Now, as we mentioned earlier, they didn't do anything because they were pinned deep on that punt, but then they were able to punt it out, and then that's when they forced the turnover, and then the game was over. So Montez Sweat, without him just putting a stop to what Washington was doing, which was just running up and down the field at will, except for when they turned it over, I thought that was a big part of why the Bears were able to win this game.
Bold and gutsy there, Marshall Harris. I like that.
I do what I want.
Okay. Yeah, a little outside of the box thinking. I like it. Well thought out, even if it's wrong. You guys have left me DeAndre Swift.
Yeah. Montez forced a fumble too.
And he forced a fumble. Out.
He was the one with the. It wasn't so much a punch; it was more of like a swipe.
And Kyler Gordon got the recovery on that.
Guess what? There was a Tez effect. The Tez effect was back. We have so missed the Tez effect. So we'll take that for sure. We're really building this case now, Layla.
I don't know that that's what happened. I wouldn't call it a full Tez effect, knowing that I experienced the Tez effect for myself in 2023.
Okay.
But I would say he had a good game.
Okay.
And he was close. Like, he was close to some sacks. He was like a step slow. But you know what? That's what happens. That's the difference between people who get them and people who don't. But he still was a disruptive presence.
I jumped the gun just a little bit. It happens.
I'm going to go with DeAndre Swift. Like I said, 14 carries, 108 yards, had the explosive reception for a touchdown. And not to mention, the best part of his game was saved for the end when he had a bunch of carries, but on that final drive to get the Bears and Jake Moody in position to make the field goal, a 10-yard gain on that drive and a 15-yard gain on that drive. And it was pretty awesome, especially after the game when he talked about how he had never met Jake Moody. Poor Jake Moody. Nobody, I mean, it takes guys 3 years to get to know the actual kicker on the Bears, who is Cairo Santos, but nobody needs to get to know. I saw Jake Moody sitting there all by himself in the locker room, and now I feel bad that I didn't go up to him and talk to him, because now we're all just going to jump on the Moody bandwagon.
He was so calm in the postgame interview, too. Did you guys notice that? He was just so quiet. Did he keep his helmet on?
I don't know if he did or not, but he seems like a good Moody.
He was so
quiet. He had his helmet off on at the podium, at least.
Yeah. He had it on at the podium.
Yeah, he did.
But he was just so, like, quiet and just calm. And like, I was like, oh, he's just a baby.
He's just a baby. Oh, that's what you said in the text thread. Oh, I saw something. Yes, is that what that was?
He was born in 1999. Like,
oh, my God. Well, we'll see where that goes. If, Cairo is healthy and we'll see. 4 or 5. He did have one blocked and it was a bad block. Low trajectory. Can't have that. But it worked out in the end. Guys, thanks for staying up late with me. And like I said, can't wait for Bears Monday on the Score. We'll be rocking and rolling, talking about it like we do every day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thanks, guys.
It will be a Football Tuesday.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, Bears Monday on a Tuesday? Is that Leo's first ever Bears Tuesday?
Football Monday. It's my first ever Football Monday on a Tuesday.
That's it. See, I'm glad Layla has to do the leading of the show, because she's got to say all that stuff. Like, she's the one that has to remember tomorrow or today or whatever it is that it's a Tuesday. Good luck, Layla.
I never know what day it is. You guys know that. I'll be like, hey, the Cubs have 2 months left in their season. And Marshall's like, it's September. And I'm like, oh, 1 month.
See, that's where Marshall picks you up. Marshall has a little bit more
pointing out the calendar.
Yeah, he's got your back. What?
I'm like, is this June? And he's like, it's October.
I'm like, I'm a real life AI assistant. It's all good. I got you.
You are. Thank you guys. For Layla Rahimi, for Marshall Harris, for Adam Studzinski, I am Mark Rohde saying thank you for watching and listening to the Take the North podcast. Bears win.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.